Happy Sabbath, family.
Happy Sabbath.
I want to thank Sister Helen for the song.
Amen.
It was last minute. Rachel was scheduled. She can't do it.
Yeah.
Even before I start, I do want to we appreciate the prayer. For those who don't know, she's not been well for the last 2 weeks, and so we appreciate the prayers of our friends, of our family. She's not really in position to even really have company. It gets really bad. But we thank you for your thoughts and your prayers. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you for another day that we can worship you, another day that we can see on this earth. Father, we pray that you'll remove the distractions from our minds, that we can see you and we can understand you. Father, we all come to you with various burdens that we're dealing with, various thoughts on our minds. But because of you, we're here. And we got up and we decided to be here amongst our family, amongst our brethren, and amongst our sisters. And so, Father, we're asking for the blessing from on high that only you can give, that only you can provide. Watch over us this day in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know if you're any of you are a fan of certain television shows. There's a term that I learned last week from Martha. Dramatized sin, I think was the term. What was it?
She said yes.
Dramatized sin. I hope I don't forget that. So not counting this week, because this week I had no dramatized sin, but in the past, there's a show that I've enjoyed quite much called Law and Order. And the shows that I watch aren't on today. I mean, they're all in repeat. And I see some of the shows and I know who did it. I know where it's going. I'm like repeating the lines verbatim. But I enjoy the repeat. I say all that to say these last few weeks have been really tough. And this sermon is a repeat. So I hope you enjoy the repeat as much as I do. Title of the sermon is The Long Road. It's actually a sermon that was given, that I gave maybe a few years ago. So if it sounds familiar, there's a reason for it. A few years ago, I was sitting at a picnic table, and some friends of mine were discussing this wedding that was about to take place. And the wedding, there were two possible locations for the wedding. So one wedding, one possible location was in Elmira. And they said, okay, well, they might have the wedding in Elmira. But the other location for the wedding was in Australia. And the one gentleman there, his brother was the one getting married, so he had to go. Now, how bad can it be, right? Australia. I mean, you've seen the pictures. Koala bears and kangaroos and just beautiful landscapes. And so they all sat around talking about who was going to go to the wedding. And everyone got eager just listening and thinking, man, Australia, it's going to be so beautiful. You know, to be upside down, you know, on the other side of the world, so to speak. And so as they got to talking about how great it's going to be, one person asked the brother the question. He said, well, how long does it take to get there? That's the question nobody wants to answer. Sister Annette can answer this for many of us. He got to explaining the length of the trip. And all of a sudden, the eagerness just kind of bowed out. All of a sudden, they said, well, you go for the family, honey. You represent the rest of the family. You know, all of a sudden, everybody bowed out because the problem wasn't the destination, it's the journey. And sometimes in our lives, the problem isn't the destination. We're fine with the destination. We're fine with where God's bringing us, but it's how we get there that we have problems with. It's the journey that becomes the issue. We want to look at a journey that the children of Israel took and try to apply this journey to our own personal lives. There are two questions that I want to try to answer, or at least touch on. The first question is, why was the journey so long? The children of Israel, again, God's people, they were in bondage, and God was like, I'm going to free you. I'm going to take you to this promised land. And so the question is, well, why was the journey so long, number one? And number two, the second question is, what happened along the way? Why was the journey so long, and what happened along the way? If you have your Bibles with you, please open to the book of Exodus, chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, second book in the Bible, and we want to start from verse 17. Exodus chapter 13, when you get there, verse 17, say amen.
Amen.
Starting from verse 17, and it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham and the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. Verse 17, just repeating that, lets me know, I just want to look at it, it says, and it came to pass when the Pharaoh had said, let the people go, that God said, God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure, the people repent when they see war and return back to Egypt. There's a destination that God has for all of us. There's a destination, and I know sometimes it's the idea is that this place is heaven, and we think golden streets and all these other things, but the destination I'm talking about is God is trying to perfect your character. God is trying to bring you to a place where your character is perfected. I said this before, that God is trying to bring you to a place where you no longer need an intercessor, where you no longer need a mediator. God is trying to bring you to a place to perfect your character. And if we look at this story with the children of Israel, and we compare it to our lives, we can see that in any destination, there are multiple paths. They could have gone directly. They could have gone the straight way, the quick way. But God said, no, I don't want to send them that way, because maybe when they go that way, they'll see the Philistines, they'll get scared, and they'll turn back. Our destinations are all the same. God's trying to perfect our character, but the path we get there is going to differ. The unnerving part, the part that I have issues with to some degree, is that the path that God takes you to isn't the easy one. I mean, I can understand to some degree if God said, okay, I'm going to take them to the hard path of the Philistines. I'm going to take them to the easy path where there are no Philistines. That'd be great. But he didn't take them that way. He just said, I'm going to take you the long way. I'm sure that there was some kid in that crowd who kept saying, Daddy, are we there yet? Mommy, are we there yet? I'm sure some adult kept looking at that pillar of cloud. Are we there yet, God? If you've gone through a trial, the Moody household is going through a bit of a trial, and sometimes, man, I've just sat and I've looked at Rachel and I'm just like, Lord, when's this ending? When does this pain get over with? How long? It'd be nice if when we went to the doctor's office, they could say, look, it's just going to be 3 days. 3 days and you'll be done. You'll be out of this. But they didn't say that. It'd be nice if you could look on the trials of your life. If you think of the worst trial you've had. And it'd be nice if you could look at it and just know that it was only going to be a year. A year seems long, but if you know it's a year, then you're fine. It's over in a year. But we get in these ruts and we get in these circumstances and we're always wondering, well, how long? I'm tired. I'm tired of being sick. I'm tired of not having a home. I'm tired of not being married. I'm tired of not being able to be a parent. I'm tired of being in school. I'm tired of just being dug out and walked all over by everybody. I'm tired. Lord, how long is this going to last? And it's bizarre in a way that God didn't choose the shortest path for these people. You would think that if anybody deserved the short path, it would be the children of Israel. They had been in slavery for 430 years. If anybody deserved the short path, it would have been the children of Israel. So it's not as if these people had just sort of skipped through life and then all of a sudden they meet God and God said, well, now I gotta try you. You gotta go through something. They had been beaten for 400 plus years. And now God gets them into the wilderness and it's sort of like, I mean, have you ever felt like your life has been rough in general? And then you get to a certain point in part in your life and you're thinking, okay, Lord, now it's just you and I. And it's like, well, wait a minute, God, you seem to be taking me the long road. You seem to be pushing me through this the long way. You know, I've been out of a job for far too long. Lord, this is the long way. It's bizarre that God would choose that path at first glance. And then God gives a reason, though. You know, he always likes to justify himself because he's a just God and he can handle a question or two. He says, you know, my concern is when you see war, you'll turn back. More than anything else, God wants no one on this earth to be lost. He wants no one lost. God's not as concerned with your job as he's concerned about your salvation. He's not as concerned with my health as he's concerned about my salvation. God is supremely, as my daughter would say, supremely concerned with your salvation. So God says, trust me. Trust me, if you went this way and you saw those Philistines, you'd go back. 2 Peter verse 3:9 puts it this way. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants all of us saved. All of us saved. In our case, and in this case with the children of Israel, the long road isn't the only road. If there were another way with Christ, he would have chosen it. He couldn't. That was the road he had to take. That was the path he had to take. You know, but God knows how humans are. I don't know if you ever felt forgetful, but I'm a forgetful person. I don't know if you know what it's like to have someone tell you something and then a week later they remind you and you're like, yeah, that sounds familiar. I recall this. I used to say, if it's not in my phone, it's not happening. You give me a date, birthday, I don't care what it is, you give me a date. If it's not in my phone, if you don't see me pull out my phone, You hope Rachel has it, because I'm not seeing it. So God says, I know how you humans are. You get forgetful. Sometimes things have to happen to stick into our minds. You know, historically at times I've offended people, believe that or not. And somebody will come to me later and they'll say, you know, what you did really bothered me. And I listen, and my recollection of what happened, my whole recollection of the events, completely different. But you listen to what they're saying, and they're saying, you know, you did this, and you said this, and you did this, and like, you know, and I stop and I say to myself, the fact that they still remember it this way, after all this time, means that they're probably right. Because when I'm hurt, when somebody damages me, I play it over multiple times in my head. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years later, I can tell you exactly how it happened. So when people go through tough times, they tend to remember it a lot more. There's an old Jewish saying. The Jews say, you know, they think back to what Hitler tried, and effectively what he did, and they say, never again. You ever hear that? Jews will say, they'll think of what happened. They'll recall what took place, and they'll say, never again. Never again will somebody get the opportunity to try to wipe us off the earth. And if that means a preemptive strike, never again. They'll do a preemptive strike and won't think twice about it. Never again will somebody get the upper hand the way Hitler did. If that means that they've got to fight rocks and retaliate with tanks, never again. You won't get that chance twice. If they've got to manipulate a president or a prime minister or whatever it takes, whatever kind of financial pressure it needs, never again. Because there are some who are alive who still remember the Holocaust. We were having devotion in our house recently, and we were singing one of these, there's this old Negro spiritual. It says, freedom, oh freedom over me. And this is these slaves, and they're coming out of slavery, and they say, oh freedom over me, and before I be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave. Do you understand the resolve of that? This is someone who's, they've dealt with slavery and all that it had to offer, and then they step into freedom and they say, oh, before I go back to that, I'll be put 6 feet under. So there are things that happen in our lives. What I'm saying is there are things that happen that are so difficult, that are so bothersome, that it should make a mark in our mind to say, before I go back, I'd rather die. Before I turn back to a life of sin, I'd rather die. The short road would have caused them to go back, but the long road was designed to keep them moving forward. And the thing is, like I said, God's not saying that the long road is absent of the Philistines. It's not like he said, okay, the short road is the Philistines, but the long road is the scenic route. Just trees and cool breeze and brooks and streams and nice mountain views. God is saying, no, the long road is going to have the Philistines too. But in the long road, I'll build up your legs. I'll build up your stamina. I'll build up your heart rate. I'll build up your muscles in the long road. By the time you reach the Philistines, you won't run. By the time you reach the Philistines, you'll be willing and designed to fight. I'll build it up. God wants you to get to that point where you just say, I won't go back. God never puts you through a trial that you can't bear. God never will put you through anything that you can't handle. I remember when I was young, this Spanish lady came to our church, and she said there's a saying, and she did it in Spanish and then gave it in English, and she says, you know, God will hug you tight, but he won't suffocate you. That was the English version of it. And I thought, I never forgot that God will hug you tight, but he won't suffocate you. The long road teaches us to trust in the Lord. You get to the point where you realize that the battle is the Lord's. The battle in your marriage is not yours. It's the Lord's. The battle with your health is not yours. It's the Lord's. The battle in school is not yours. It's the Lord's. So God says, look, I'm going to bring you through the long road because I'm trying to build you up. I'm trying to get you through it. I'm trying to protect your character. Perfect your character. Second question I had is, what happens along the way? What happened with the children of Israel along the way? One of the things that happened, we read it in the book of Exodus. Turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 1. Book of Exodus, chapter 1, verse 10 says this. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, talking about the children of Israel. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they, meaning Egypt, therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. There's a new king in town, and the new king says, I'm going to put afflictions on you. I'm going to make it difficult for you. You know, the fact of the matter is, Satan doesn't want to see us grow. He has no desire to see us grow. But the truth is that when we're afflicted is when we grow. The truth is when we get afflicted. Verse 12. Chapter 1 verse 12 says, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. They had problems because they were looking. Satan is saying, wait a minute, I did all this. I threw all these stones at you, and I thought you would die. I thought you would be crushed out. And God said, no, I'm turning it around for them. And all the things that were meant to crush them have made them better. All the things that were made to crush them and snuff them out, they've multiplied. Now, they don't see it. They don't see it. They don't see that things are getting better and slowly turning into their favor. They're probably just saying, man, I hate this life. I can't stand this. It's so hard. It's so hard. But on the outside looking in, people are saying, oh, man, they're growing. Oh, and when you're in trials, it's interesting to watch somebody go through a trial, and all they desire is to get out of the trial, to get out of the tough part of life. And on the outside, we're looking and saying, man, that brother's growing in Christ. That sister is growing in Christ. People on the outside looking in, as you go through your trial, can look and see what your relationship in Christ is like. You can make a lot of determinations by what someone looks like going through a trial. Affliction brings us closer to God. In sickness, we tend to pray more. You ever notice that? In affliction, we tend to pray more. Some of you are here today. Some of us are here today. Not because, like, we woke up and the sun was shining and the birds were chirping and we thought, I think I'll go to church. Some of us are here because something happened. Negative. Something happened wrong and just so uneasy, and it brought us here, and we think that somehow that thing should have never happened. And God's like, I got you here. God's not really concerned with how you get here. God wants you here. God wants you in his service. God wants you in amongst his people, in his sanctuary. In all of their affliction, God was blessing them. In all of their affliction, God was causing them to see growth. Second thing that happens is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 13. And we'll close this up in maybe 10 minutes. It's hot. it's hotter for me than... Exodus 13. Verse 21. Second thing that happens along the way. And the Lord went before them. Exodus 13, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. I used to think that they only moved in at one part of the day. God says that the journey is going to keep going. The journey doesn't stop. I keep meeting you to progress. In the daytime, I want you to lead. I want you to progress. I want you to go forward. In the daytime, follow the cloud. I'm going to lead you. But in the nighttime, it's not that I'm telling you to sleep. In the nighttime, follow the fire. Thy word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. God is saying that in the night of your life, I'm there. In the night of your life, you have my word. In the nighttime of your life, I can be there. I will be there watching and guiding you. God's saying, I will always be there with you. Yeah. In this long journey, in the daytime by the cloud, but in the nighttime, I haven't left you. In the nighttime, I'm still guiding you. I'm guiding you by the pillar of fire. It's amazing what we learn in the nighttime of our lives. Amen. In the nighttime, you know, you can learn success from failure. Yes, mm-hmm. You can learn health from sickness. Yes. Mm-hmm. You can come to understand marriage from separation. Mm-hmm. In the nighttime. In the nighttime, you can learn a whole lot of things. God can teach you more things than you can ever imagine. When you go through the path on this long road, the last thing that happens to us is foolishness. Foolishness. Exodus chapter 14. Won't be long. Exodus chapter 14. We're almost home, folks. Verse 3. Exodus chapter 14, verse 3. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. Imagine that. Now, you gotta picture this. They are following God, right? They are following God's leading by night and by day and by night. They're following God's leading. God says, you go this path, Pharaoh's going to look and say, they're dumb. These dummies, they've trapped themselves. They don't understand the terrain. They've entangled themselves in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. See, when you follow God, you can look very foolish. And nobody likes to look foolish, as far as I know. As far as I know. Nobody likes to look foolish. But God says you're going to look foolish. You're going to look like you're just aimlessly walking about. Looking like you have no plan, like you've really not thought things out. But when you follow God, he's leading you. You can be okay with that. Amen. When you're following God, Romans 12:21. This verse changed my life. Romans 12:21 says this. It says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The Holy Spirit's saying that, right? Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, I will tell you for a fact, if somebody is evil to you and you attempt to be good to them, you will look like such a fool. You'd be afraid to tell your friends. You'd be afraid to tell your friends, your family members. You'd be afraid for some church folks to know how kind you're trying to be to someone who hates your guts. But God says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I sat there in a middle of just a bad situation. God led me to this verse. And I sat there and I was like, no, Lord, you can't be saying this. You are not saying this. And he said, yeah, read that again, man. So this person who can't stand me, who I'm supposed to be good? And so he said, yeah, matter of fact, I'm going to tell you a few things I want you to do. Start giving me hints, clues. Start writing them down. Write a letter to the person and tell them how great they are. That makes no sense, Lord. Give them money. This person can't stand me. Write them a letter, tell them how great they are, and give them money, and say, hey, have a great day. And you know how foolish I did it, and I confided in a few people, and the few people looked at me like, are you crazy? But you know what it did? It changed everything. It changed everything. God has a way of saying, if you follow me, you'll see that my plan will work. I will lead you. It's your character I'm concerned with. I'm not concerned with their character and what they're doing to you. I'll deal with them, but I'm concerned with you because you're letting evil overcome you. And you're thinking that you retaliate with evil by doing evil. And God says, no, do good. Do good. Find ways. Research ways of doing good to those who do evil to you. And watch it change. I would go into more detail today, this Sabbath, if I could, but I won't. I can't, literally. But it changed the relationship between me and a person that I never thought would happen. Because God said, I want you to do good. In your worst hour, Bill, I want you to find ways of doing good. Jesus came to this earth. And his actions almost seemed crazy on the outside. I mean, how does the creator of the world allow himself to be smacked? How does the creator of heaven and earth allow himself to be spat on? I mean, does anything look more foolish than that? How does the creator of the world allow himself to be stripped and whipped and hung up on a cross? And he's saying, if you see what this world has for me, that's what it has for you. But don't be overcome by it, Bill. Overcome the evil with good. When you look back, you'll realize you're not the same person. It's the love of God. It's the love of God that moves us. I know some of you are here and you probably can think of someone in your life who's done you wrong, who you in your heart of hearts can't stand. And you've made a decision in your mind that everything you do is justified. All of your actions are completely justified. The way you think is justified because of what they did. I'm begging you, follow God. If the children of Israel had walked away, can you imagine if someone in that camp had walked away from the pillar, away from the cloud, away from the fire, and just decided to go it alone? I mean, that's what we do. When we don't follow God, that's what we're going it alone. No protection. If it's your desire to follow God, no matter how foolish you look, no matter how crazy it looks, and all you want is for the Lord to give you the strength and in fact give you the ideas on how you can overcome evil with good, overcome difficulty, I'm I'm going to ask you to stand as we pray. Father God, you've brought us a long way. And Father, the journey that many of us are on, we wish more than anything that the Philistines weren't there. We wish more than anything that there were no trials. We wish more than anything that it was easy. But that is not the case. There are people who trouble us left and right. And our hearts are so hardened, Father, that we have a difficult time hearing you talk to us. But we know that you're looking to perfect our character. We know that. And so, Father, we pray that you'll break down the walls that we've built up over the course of years in many cases. Break down those walls, Father, and give us a heart of flesh. Take away the stony heart that we have and give us a heart of flesh that we can hear you and desire to do your will, whatever the cost, whatever it looks like. Father, to others it may look like we're aimlessly walking in a desert. But we want to follow you. We want to be led by you, Father. And so we ask that you'll watch over us this day. Give us the courage and desire to follow you. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.